This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Do you even know what this is from, Zach?
No, I'm just vibing.
This is... Josh, keep that up a little bit for a moment. This is the theme song for Knuckles the Echidna in Sonic Adventure for Sega Dreamcast. And now that you know what it is, it hits harder.
Yeah, it does. Inside joke there. It's fine. It's fine. Happy Wednesday morning. We're halfway through the week. It's still super cold. I woke up with not snow on my car, but enough to make me mad. Enough to ruin my morning.
I got a picture from my parents this morning. They had an inch at their house.
So. Okay, that's a little too
like
far.
You couldn't see the grass.
Ooh, I get it's March. I do. Like I'm the 69 degree day I get was like an anomaly.
It was a week ago, by the way.
It was a week ago.
Week ago today, by the way.
But come on.
No, week ago today. It was 69.
I want to pull out the shorts.
I know. It's the fact that this is why spring is the most irritating season to me.
Oh, 100%.
Is because it's the teaser.
Mm-hmm.
You get a great weather day. You want to break out the shorts.
You do break out the shorts.
And then you get a week of terrible, terrible weather, whether it's colder or mm-hmm. it's rainy or it does the worst thing in the world and gives you the cold rain combo.
Oh, the cold rain combo.
And for any dog owner, it's muddy season.
Mm-hmm.
It is not spring. It's mud season.
It is mud season, 100%.
Especially when you have a beagle.
Yeah.
A diggy hole is mm-hmm. her favorite thing to do.
Yep. See, I got a little chihuahua. He doesn't really dig.
Good.
He's kind of like, I'm going to do my business and I don't want to get dirty. I'm just going to get inside as quickly as possible.
Yeah. They're built different.
Used to have a pug though. He was the opposite. He was going to rub his face into the ground immediately.
Yes.
And I was like, dude,
diggy hole then also turns into bath time, and she hates that.
Well, of course.
But she doesn't correlate one with the other, so
not yet.
Well, probably
nope.
Never.
Yeah, no.
Probably never at this
probably
point.
Probably never. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We had a lot happen yesterday night.
A lot happened yesterday.
We were prepared to come in, and we still are, to talk kind of the idea of trading up in the draft. We're now less than a month away from the start of the first round. It kind of feels like it's not April yet, but it sort of feels like we are in the final stretch of draft season. Teams are making their final moves to where it kind of sets up like, okay, what's going on? Teams having top 30 visits, what have you. And then Russell Wilson signed with the Giants, mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, cool. Like, Rodgers has Pittsburgh or retirement. Okay, interesting. Yes. And then Stephon Diggs signed a 3-year deal with New England. And it was like, oh, okay.
And there's some mixed emotions that we are seeing from the Bills fandom on this. And I tend to agree with pretty much all of them. At this point with Stephon Diggs, whatever you're feeling about him, unless you get to overly mean and hateful, I'm probably going to end up ultimately agreeing with someone, no matter what it is. Because how do you force your way off of a Bills roster that is probably your best chance to win a Super Bowl, and then now 2 years later, sign with the New England Patriots, who are not even close to ready?
No, they're very much far off.
The steak is still mooing. Put it back on the grill, not ready.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people that probably felt shunned by Diggs in that sense alone are feeling a little confused, maybe. That's me. I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are probably angry about it. Some people are still salty about him leaving in the first place. Some people were already at, oh, he's dead to me, because of how he effectively forced his way out of here. I don't seem to understand
mm-hmm.
why he would choose New England. But then I look at the contract and go, that's why.
Yeah.
I just don't know why you did the thing first.
I think that was my immediate thought is I'm driving home, listening to the Sabres game, pulling into my driveway, and I just go check my phone, see if I missed anything. And it was right there. It was the first thing. I was like, oh, okay, 3-year deal. $69 million, $26 million guaranteed. So it's the 69 is more the it's not the real number, right?
If he ends up there all 3 years, he's going to get that.
Yep,
but I doubt that that's going to be the case.
Exactly. It's quite a discrepancy between the two numbers. But $26 million, this late in free agency, coming off a torn ACL, 31 years old. I think for me, I immediately saw that. Number one, the moment the Bills were successful without Diggs, look, he's one of my favorite Bills of all time. I really don't care about the exit. As long as he didn't commit a crime, he's going to end it as one of my favorite Bills
he
of all
time.
He
should end it in a favorable note.
Yeah, especially if he doesn't trash the organization or the fans or what have you. And I haven't seen anything like that yet. If I missed it, please let me know. But he's going to end as one of my favorite Bills. I love the wide receiver position. It is my favorite position in sports to watch, to study, the whole thing. And he was kind of a NFL crush of mine before he was a Bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was with Minnesota, the 3-touchdown game against Philadelphia, I was always like, me and my brother, I will never forget both of us being like, the Bills need to get him. And the day they did,
you were probably doing backflips.
Oh, because it was late, and we both were like, dude. And it was the whole thing. It was exciting.
You were interning with us. You were doing backflips.
Yeah. I was having a blast. It was awesome. And so like he's always going to be that guy. Does it sour it a little bit that he's going to be on the Patriots? Yeah, of course it does. But I also know that 90s Bills fans had to go through this with a lot of their stars winding up on the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had jilted relationships with the organization. I don't think that's what this is. I think this is honestly a guy at the end of his career. I still stand by. If he does not tear his ACL, if he just has a solid season, I think the dream for him was to wind up in Dallas to play with his brother the last few years of his career. I think that was ultimately the goal or the dream.
Even at minimum, they probably could have reworked the deal, like how they reworked it after he was traded to Houston mm-hmm. to where it expires. He probably would have been okay with staying in Houston if he was healthy.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just more of, okay, you're gonna suffer a little bit, buddy.
He's going to – look, Drake May is an exciting young quarterback.
He's an exciting young quarterback.
He'll probably get a lot of targets, especially early in the season.
They also still have that much work to do on the offensive line.
Yeah, they got a lot to do.
They have a lot to do. But this is also the second time – and hey, you know what? Credit to New England for this. The second time in this offseason that they overpaid a now former Bills wide receiver a lot of money. You know why, though? This is also happening.
I don't want to say, like, a lot of money overpaid, but, like, Diggs got a nice contract this late in free agency coming off of an ACL tear. Matt Collins is getting $8.2 million over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he signed a New England? Well, I think that's why.
Yeah, I think ultimately it doesn't have to do anything with loyalty or what have you. It's a guy at the end of his career looking at, oh, I can get $26 million guaranteed.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not worried about the loyalty aspect of it. I'm just more like, if you valued winning,
I think that's gone out the door.
I think it's because of that ACL tear.
I think that changed radically what his plans were. Because let's all remember what Houston looked like at this time last year when the Diggs trade happened.
They were
seen as an ascending team that had sort of figured it out. C.J. Stroud had one of the better rookie years we've ever seen. Jaden Daniels outdoes him literally a year later. But at the time, Stroud's rookie year was seen as like, oh, crap.
Look out for the Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans have figured out. Now, did they kind of take advantage of a weak schedule? And we ultimately saw this year, they're not there yet. That offensive line was horrendous, and they kind of gutted it, too. But at the time...
Well, yeah, you should.
At the time, you could argue Diggs was maybe reading the tea leaves, ultimately wrong, and thought, that's my better opportunity to get a ring at the end of my career.
Correct.
Especially when the Bills were sort of drifting away, as we saw, getting him the ball as much as they did. He was not as effective in this style of offense as he had been in previous iterations, especially under Dable.
And I'm starting to, now it's all coming together here, the last piece of the puzzle, to where now the confusion is kind of going away from you. I think all I needed to do was talk about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's about role. It always has been with him. And what happened when Joe Brady took over? Diggs' targets plummeted.
His role was diminished.
His role was, that's being nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost all but taken away from him at times. However, he was winning. But his role was not being fulfilled. When he left Minnesota, it was about role.
Yeah, Adam Thielen was kind of decided to be the one.
No, it was Mike Zimmer saying, we're going to run the football.
Mm.
Which, by the way, that means it's a second Cook brother that ultimately helps eschew him out of a team.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, man.
Man.
That's tough. That's tough.
Now that I'm thinking about it, Stephon Diggs, he might have a real vendetta about the Cook brothers. The Cooks, because that's how his roles were diminished, both in Minnesota and in Buffalo. If there's another Cook brother out there that's going to be playing running back, New England has the opportunity to do the funniest
thing ever.
There's not, but I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to say it to be funny. New England has an opportunity to do the funniest thing ever. James Cook's contract is expiring after next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Patriots, you do have the chance to do the funniest thing ever to Stephon Diggs.
803-0550, your thoughts on Stephon Diggs. I mean, we're going to get the return to Buffalo, too, which I actually am excited for.
Now, ready?
I don't have many thoughts in terms of, does this hurt me to see? No, I think he's ultimately getting his bag at the end of his career. I am excited, though, to see him return to Buffalo.
Now, let me say this. Clearly, I don't know how much people will boo him when he comes here. What I do know is that it is going to happen a little bit, a smattering of boos of some sort.
Yep.
A la Jack Eichel when he first visited Buffalo with the Vegas Golden Knights. I do not expect Stephon Diggs to turn around into a microphone and go, really? I don't expect that. I also do not expect him to trash the fan base.
I don't either. I will tell you, I think Diggs would flourish in a villain role.
Stephon Diggs absolutely would flourish in a villain role, but also say, I love this fan base too. Let's have some fun with it. He'll probably go do his run around the stadium, play catch with fans again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he'll be doing it in Buffalo for the first time since leaving. And some people will boo him, and he'll probably just give the little smirk, the little wave, you know, little, how's your father?
Oh, man, yeah.
Like how he did with New England fans after Christmas.
That's the funny thing, is maybe the most beloved moment for Diggs as a Bill was his routine games against the Patriots, where he would embarrass them. I mean, Diggs was I mentioned a 3-touchdown game with Minnesota. He had one with Buffalo where you've got, Belichick throwing the headset. And it was sort of this, I think for a lot of us, a euphoric moment of like, yeah, baby, now it's our time.
It was also the beginning of the end of J.C. Jackson.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, wow. That's
yeah, right. I remember that.
Torched by him. So, I mean, that's ultimately my thing is I don't have really any ill will towards Diggs. No. It helps that the Bills were themselves successful. But even then, if the Bills had a bad year last year and Diggs left, I'd have been more frustrated with the team than him. He would have read the tea leaves correctly.
Right. And again, I think I needed to talk my way out of my confusion there. Mm-hmm. But it had to do with role. In Houston, he was not the guy. He was never going to be the guy. That's probably why he renegotiated it to, hey, I'm out after this year.
Mm-hmm.
In New England, what's he going to be?
I mean, especially what's
with
their,
that receiving core?
Yeah, what's
he's the guy.
Their receiving room is obviously him, Matt Collins, two former Bills now, Kendrick Bourne, Pop Douglas, Jalen Polk, Kayshon Boutte, Javon Baker, if you want him, but he could not get on the field last year.
But also, not even just about getting on the field, about being the guy.
Yeah. He's going to be the guy next year for
Diggs
New England.
Diggs is the guy. He's back to being the guy. It's kind of what he's always wanted. And there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to see it. In a sort of way of like, hey, you know what? You know what you want. You recognize what you want. You go and get what you want. I'm okay with it not being the Bills' problem anymore.
I think this
except
did...
for now two games of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the Bills don't have the greatest corner depth anymore.
We will see, though, come the draft. I'm very excited for the draft. I know
me and
Nate now are in lockstep of who maybe our favorite corner idea is
you
for
guys
the Bills.
Are both kind of on Siobhan Revelle at this
I've been
point.
On Revelle for a little while. I always thought maybe second-round guy. I think Nate's leaning more towards, like, if he's there at 30, have a real conversation.
Nate took him in the mock draft earlier today that they did.
Have a real conversation, and I can understand that, especially after free agency. Corner is now maybe their biggest need, which – alarms me that they weren't able to do more. But
I still say safety should be high up there as
safety,
well.
Safety. The problem I'm going to have with this, we'll talk more about this the rest of this
week,
next week. Oh,
we've got a
whole
month?
And I've said this really since I've been on air here in Buffalo, is that I am very stingy on positional value when it comes to the draft. Like, I won't trade up for really any major trade up for anything but quarterback and maybe edge rusher, because those can change games. If you get a guy that's going to average 15 sacks a game, you go make that trade.
Yes.
Or 15 sacks a season, you go make that trade. If you're going to get a quarterback that, as we see, changes the temperature in the room of your organization, you go make that trade. I certainly won't do that for quarterback, safety, wide receiver. And to that point, cornerback and safeties,
you
usually get them in the second, third round.
Get them in the second,
and get
third
legitimate
round,
NFL starters pretty darn early. Now, there's always the examples of a Kyle Hamilton who goes in the top 20, and he has changed Baltimore's defense, and they didn't even need a safety.
Right.
I don't necessarily think there is one of those guys this year. I know a lot of people like Nick Emmanuori out of South Carolina. To me, I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There is some.
I like him more.
I know you do. Because for me, there are some fears that is he just a great athlete rather than a great safety? Where I like Watts out of Notre Dame a lot more for maybe the Bills system.
So, the last thing on the draft before we circle back to Diggs, if there's someone that can get Nick Emmanuori proper safety technique, it's probably the guy who played safety in college ball.
Probably. I mean, that's the thing, too. Outside of
100% faith that Sean McDermott will help teach the right techniques and his coaching staff to Nick Emmanuori.
Outside of Elam, honestly, outside of Kyer Elam, the Bills with the secondary as a whole, you can kind of put your trust in them. That's a big miss, no doubt. But they've made a ton of other guys NFL players as late round. Jamarcus Ingram is an NFL cornerback. He may not start for you. He's a wonderful depth piece to have. And in the pinch, we saw it last year. When they needed him to perform in a small sample size, he was great. Now, once that sample size grew, it was like, okay. But he's an undrafted guy out of UB. You got to like that. So
Cam Lewis is this hybrid corner safety mm-hmm. player. Like, there's a lot to it. So.
Yep. But so for me, positional value, it's going to be tough for me to like go trade up for safety. No. Defensive tackle, I'm willing to do a small trade up for a guy like Kenneth Grant, and we all know how I feel about Grant. That's my guy.
That's your guy.
I don't know if he's going to be there at 30. I've kind of talked about it. I don't actually think the Bills will pick at 30, and there's a good chance they probably pick within 25 to that point, just the small trade ups, what have you, to make sure a team like Kansas City doesn't jump ahead of them. They also have needs on the defensive line.
I'm still, once again, going to say it. Do not worry about what another team is going to do. Just do what you're going to do to be better.
I agree.
That's the Xavier Worthy trade nonsense all over again.
I agree, but there is going to be a thought process, I think, for some in the Bills brass.
I'm telling people, the Bills don't care about that. They don't.
I think there's some people in the Bills brass that are going like, guys, they keep getting us.
I would imagine the general manager is not worried about that.
I'm not saying he should. No, I'm saying he should maybe think about it.
No, because then you're not an NFL general manager.
Well, no, I right. It's the old saying that once you start listening to the fans, you're out.
I was consistent about this last year. I'm going to say it again. I don't care about what the Kansas City Chiefs do. Do not. 0% care.
It's fair.
0%. My guy.
I will tell you, if they leave them to take Kenneth Grant, I'm going to be emotional. I'm going to be a wreck.
You know what's actually going to upset me with the Kansas City Chiefs? If they somehow get the best offensive tackle in this draft class all the way at pick 31.
It's not a good tackle class, though.
Ready? That's my point.
Yeah, it's not a good tackle class.
There's nothing they can do to me
that's
going to go oh, they actually cooked here. No.
No. I don't really want to see Calvin Banks there. He'd tackle for Texas. I like him a lot. Obviously not for the Bills, but it's I don't want another Texas player to go there. This is getting difficult for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't want Worthy for the Bills, but I loved Worthy for Texas.
Right.
And I was I don't want him to suck. I don't want this. Yes. I want to be good. It's the same with I've seen Matthew Golden at times be mocked to Kansas City because, oh boy, do they have some issues at wide receiver in terms of potential availability. I'm I think he'll be good. I don't want him to be bad because he goes to Kansas City.
And finally, this is just this, I don't need to relive the anger that everyone was putting out last year and the despair. It's been 12 months. We're okay. As a matter of fact, I would just more or less worry about what this team does for restructuring its defense.
Yeah, because I'm excited.
That Xavier Worthy didn't necessarily torch. He had one drive.
I was going to say, the one drive, though, was alarming.
He had one drive. It was scripted for him. He had that one drive. Don't you worry about it. I remember. But it's not like he is this consistent 1,500-yard receiver upcoming here.
Yeah, it's not like he had the rookie year of, say, a Brian Thomas Jr. for Jacksonville.
And I do know part of that has to do with Patrick Mahomes missing on a lot of throws. But how do you manage to overthrow that?
Yeah, fair. Fair. 803-0550, the number to call. We started today talking about Stephon Diggs signing a 3-year, $69 million deal, $26 million guaranteed with the New England Patriots. And we now go to the phones. We'll start today with Cleveland on the line. Cleveland, how are we doing today?
How you doing? I guess I got a two-part question for you guys. First and foremost, I don't think really Diggs. I think Diggs kind of got a worse rep on his way out than he should have because of his social media. I don't think his social media things were that bad. I think it was more of, for me personally, the information that came out that said that he seeked a trade because he didn't think that the current build of the team could beat Kansas City. And on his way out, he has the biggest drop of his career, which could have beat Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of more upset about that part. My first question about that is, maybe I'm missing something, but 3 years, $69 million, and I'm happy he got his money. I don't want to count anyone's pockets, but I think they're overpaying. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't think he's $33 million. So I wonder, I would ask you guys, what would you guys think he would be worth if he came back to the Bills? What would you guys think a fair contract for him would be if he were to come back to the Bills? And secondly, I heard one of you guys say that you like Kenneth Grant. I keep hearing Kenneth Grant. That's cool. I'm cool with that. But there's a guy from Tennessee named Elijah Simmons, 6'4", 330.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would you think if we can get him in a second round and maybe pick up a stud defensive back in the first round?
That works for me. I'm the big Kenneth Grant guy, Cleveland. Thanks for the call, man. That works for me. However this works out, there's three positions that would bother me in round one. You
Real
got something?
Quick, I just, because he said Elijah Simmons,
mm-hmm.
Got to get curious. You got to look at things.
Of course.
You want a one technique. That
he's the guy
that's tough to move. How about 340?
Well,
6'2", 340.
So on that point, before we get out of here, me and Nate Geary were talking about that too, with the idea that
God.
There's gonna be space heaters, which is sort of what the Bills need.
You said it's how deep this class
is. Yeah, later in the draft, I'd be cool with that, especially if they go and get let's say a Jahdae Barron falls to 25, and the Bills trade up a little bit to go get him. Perfect. Or to what Nate wants to do, Siobhan Revell out of ECU. They go get him. Perfect. And then they go get a defensive tackle
they
in round
sit
two.
At 30. I mean, Warrior is there.
Great. I'm happy. Again, there's like three, four positions that are going to bother me. If they take a tackle, a guard, a tight end, a quarterback, like those are going to be the positions that make me mad. Everything else, I'm probably pretty good.
And you look at a player like Elijah Simmons and it's like, this is exactly what we want right now, ladies and gentlemen. Someone who can't be moved.
Yeah, space eater that opens
space
up.
Space eater opens up at Oliver, opens up your linebackers.
Bingo.
Give me that beef wagon.
Beef wagon. That's ultimately what I want in the first round most, because I think the high-end talent for this defensive tackle class is worth attacking.
It doesn't have to be first round.
But it doesn't have to be first round.
It has to just be addressing the need.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main point of it. And our dinky little train, it's also departing the station.
On the second point, Cleveland, I do want to mention this too. I do think New England's desperate because of what happened to the receiver market very early in free agency. T. Higgins stays with Cincinnati.
Right.
They franchise tag him. And also, quietly, Darius Slayton re-signs with the Giants. I think there was a lot of hope there for Patriots fans that they were going to be able to get one of Higgins, Slayton, some of these other guys. And instead, it falls apart rapidly. And so, yeah, they had to go pay $8 million per year for Mac Hollins, you know, $26 million guaranteed.
$8 million total for Mac Hollins.
$8 million total, thank you. And then $26 guaranteed for Diggs. They kind of had to do this because that receiver room, with such a young quarterback who showed a ton of promise in Drake May, you've got to improve, maybe not rapidly, but steadily. And they were looking at not doing that.
I will say New England paid exactly what they needed to get him.
I also do think they're going to get Travis Hunter as well.
If they manage to get a player that is healthy again,
mm-hmm.
even if he is, call it 80% of what he was, that's a reliable target for Drake May.
Yeah.
And as Stephon Diggs' arrival did help a young Josh Allen form into the world ender that he is today,
the idea is
you do the same thing. And there's not many ways that you're supposed to copy the Buffalo Bills as a blueprint, but New England's doing it in a somewhat correct way. They go ahead and say, oh, we're not going to start Drake May right away. We're not going to have him get thrown to the wolves, which is what the Bills wanted to do with Josh Allen. It was just they chose the wrong guy to lead that.
Yeah.
And now, hey, not a bad idea. Throwing in a couple of Bills receivers because that's hurt you over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And, you also have the cap space to play with.
Yeah, you have a ton of cap space and you have the
need.
Too
much cap space to play with.
Like you brought up, he's a reliable guy for May to kind of continue to progress his career. And again, I think they're going to add somebody like maybe a Travis Hunter who...
That's right, they pick fourth.
That might be one of the few organizations that might be willing to let him play both positions. I don't know how much of an appetite most of the NFL has to do that. I think they want just the best out of a guy at a certain position.
I don't know. Vrabel's a no-nonsense, dude.
Vrabel's no-nonsense, but I think with you need talent, I think that's where Hunter could maybe, I'm going to play a little bit receiver. Now, in terms of Cleveland's other point, too, like what would we give Diggs if he were to return for the Bills? 31 coming off an ACL tear, 1 year, maybe $8
million. Yeah, you're probably looking at,
I don't even necessarily think he fits the current roster anyways.
Yeah, no.
But that would probably be about it.
Yeah.
And maybe $8 million is a bit rich.
Yeah.
But that would be about it.
And I do think it ultimately had to do with role. He would be coming back here. He wouldn't be the guy.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. Butch, we'll get you on the other side. Talking Stephon Diggs, him going to an AFC East rival in the New England Patriots. Also, do want to touch on the idea of maybe even trading up in the draft. I've already kind of mentioned it. I'm up for small trades, but I've heard it throughout, you know, last week into this week too, the idea of making a big swing because the time is now. They've got 10 picks. They're probably not going to add 10 players onto this roster, especially 10 rookies with all the late-round picks they have. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.